Well, welcome back to another edition of our Getting to Know podcast. I'm not sure what episode we're on now, actually. We've done so many of them over this this lockdown period. But what I do know is we've probably got one of our most multi-talented guests on. He's a barber, he's a band member, and he's what the young people of today would probably call a baller as well. I mean, it's Jordan Evans, Newtown AFC's newest signing. How are you doing, Jordan?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Wow, that's some introduction, like, but yeah. Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. Good, thanks.
Good. Thank you very much for joining us. I mean, we'll touch on all of your talents throughout this podcast, I'm sure. But first and foremost, I guess we should turn to football. You're back on the pitch for the first time in a long time, I bet. And how's everything going? How are you feeling?
Yeah, good. I mean, we started training, I think we've done three sessions now. Really excited to be at Newtown. The three sessions I've done have been really good. I've really, really enjoyed it, and I'm really looking forward to this season because I think we've signed quite well. Obviously, the boys were there. Chris and Cal have both been there for a long time, so the setup and everything's stable there, and it seems like a really good first impressions. Obviously, yeah, really good. The lads are class. Lads are really, really nice lads, and yeah, I got a good feeling. Got a good feeling about this season. Touch wood. So yeah.
No, very good. I mean, let's go back to the beginning of what's been quite a crazy journey, I think, I mean, are you 24 now?
24 now, mate. Yeah.
You've had quite a ride in football so far, I think it's fair to say, through everything you've been through and so on. But let's go back to the start. I mean, I think you were involved with Wrexham from 10 years old, if I remember correctly. Is that where your game began, or were you at a junior club before that, or how did it all come about?
I played Saturday League football for a team called Boris Park Rangers. Few people in Wrexham would probably know the team, but I joined Wrexham, yeah, just before I was 10. I think I played my first tournament when I was like 9 years old, and then started from the under 10 season, and I stayed there till I was like under 15s. I got scouted, and then continued to train and stuff because I stayed up here and finished school and everything, and then yeah, so I was at Wrexham for like 6, 7, 8 years maybe, and I loved it. Loved every second. There wasn't one period of time where I ever thought like I didn't want to play football anymore, or I just thought in my head I was going to be a footballer. Do you know what I mean? That was like it didn't, like when teachers used to ask me in school, they were like, "What do you want to be when you're like?" Because I was okay in school. Remember my English teacher saying to me, she was like, "Oh, you're going to stay on and study and stuff." And I said, "No, I'm going to be a footballer." And that was it. Even from a young age at Wrexham, that was the mentality I had. That was what I wanted to do. And Wrexham sort of allowed me to develop and develop my game as I wanted to and express myself. And, you know, it led on to the career, well, the short-ish career that I had in the professional game.
And obviously, coming from an area like that, I mean, I'm not sure exactly what part of Wrexham or that area that you live in, but I'm sure you could throw a stone from your house and hit 10, 15 different football clubs. So how big an area is it for that love of football? And what does that do for you as a youngster to make you sort of think, well, you know, did that feed your desire to become a footballer in a way?
Definitely. I mean, obviously, there's so many local sides around me. And I'm getting picked up by Wrexham. I think I was 9 years old and I got picked up, and it was like straight away I had that thought of, right, I'm going into an academy now. And again, as a kid, it's just probably something you have as a child. You just think ball for an academy and like I'm going to play for them forever and whatever. So it was just really, really good. And I always felt very comfortable there. The coaches were brilliant. Like I had such a good time through the academy. When I first joined, it was Steve Cooper in charge, who's now gaffer at Swansea. So he was like head of the academy there. And then through the years, Andy Davis, and I had some really good coaches, like in each individual age group. And they all helped me so much, like develop my game and let me be the player that I wanted to be and express myself. And yeah, and the boys that I played with, like I'm really good friends with some of them now. And like even going back, so with like Ewan Cartwright, Aaron Simpson, Ryan Kershaw at youth level. And then 10 years later, we meet at first team level back in the Wales Prem, you know, full circle. So, yeah, it's good.
And obviously, I mean, I don't know if obviously you were ambitious enough to say you wanted to be a professional footballer, but I don't know even if you could have predicted the way it was going to go. I mean, at what point do Fulham come knocking, and how do you deal with that as a young? How old would you have been then, and how do you manage all that?
I just started year 10, so I was 15 because I'm a September birthday. So I just started year 10 for the first league game in the under 15 season at Wrexham. I had a good game. We played Tranmere. I remember it like clear as day. We won 5-0, and like I had a really good game. I knew I had a good game, and then after the game, I didn't expect anything to come. It was just like going to training on the Tuesday and thought, oh, I've done all right there. So, and then I got to training on the Tuesday, and one of the, I think it was Andy Davis, and he said like, we need to have a chat at the end of training, and that was when he told me that Fulham had seen me play and they were interested, and I thought. I'd never heard of anyone go to Fulham, Everton, City, Stoke. They were the teams that the boys were going to. And then I thought, where's Fulham come from, sort of thing. So it was a bit of a shock. Like, I was obviously buzzing that they were interested. And then, a couple of weeks later, I met the scout who had seen me play. And I think that was in the September, and in the October half term, I went down for my first week at Fulham, sort of thing. So, it was very quick, and one of them where they wanted me to go down and finish my schoolwork, because obviously I'd started my GCSEs at home, and they thought at the start of year 10 I can go down and do my schoolwork in London and then do football alongside it. But I wanted to stay at home. I wanted to. It was a big decision for me to make at 15 years old. I had my family, my friends, and I didn't really want, I didn't know whether to go and live in London or what. So, yeah, I stayed at home we just sorted out. I travel down to Fulham on a Thursday night, train on a Friday morning, the 16s, the 18s together, play on a Saturday, and then come back home, go to school Monday to Thursday, and then repeat. So that was my, until the end of school, that was what I did.
And to be in and around the Premier League, were they in the Premier League at the time, or were they just outside?
Yeah, in the Prem. So where I went down then full time when I finished school at 16, and I did my 2-year scholarship, and obviously went on to do a couple of years as a pro then. But we were in the Prem until I was 18, and I think we got relegated the 2013-14 season. I think got relegated.
So I mean, but it was an incredible experience for a teenager to have that, you know, and obviously from that you ended up going on loan to Oxford, and I mean, you've played at Wembley in one of your careers. I'm sure you'll want to play in Wembley in one of your other careers later down the line. But I mean, talk to me about how that experience all sort of came about, and what it was like for you to have that exposure at a League Two club.
I'd sort of got to, I'd done my under-18s, and then I was in and around the first team at Fulham. I got on the bench and stuff, and got to a point where I hadn't played any proper first team games. I was close to going on loan a couple of times, and it maybe just didn't work, whether that was me or the club or whatever. But the League Two, the Oxford move came about, and it was like just the perfect fit. I was getting to a point where I was thinking, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When am I going to go on loan? That sort of thing. And it's just the perfect fit, the perfect timing. I went to Oxford November 2015, made my debut on. I think we had 3 games in a week in 3 different competitions. We played the FA Cup. I came on for the last 20 minutes. That was my debut. And then my first full start, we played in the JPT. And I scored like 4 minutes into my debut. And that was just like the ultimate nerve settler. It was just like the dream debut, really. The dream first start in a professional game. And then I made my League Two debut on the weekend. So in 6 days, I'd made my debut in 3 different competitions. And, you know, I'd got 3 first team games under my belt. As the season went on, I played a few more games in League Two and stuff. And then we ended up getting to the final at Johnson's Paint Trophy competition. And, yeah, that was at Wembley. So Michael Appleton pulled me into his little office at the hotel before the game on the Saturday night and told me I was starting, you know, at Wembley on the Sunday. And I struggled to sleep a little bit that night. So it was good though. It's like all my family came down. I think I had to get like 17, 18 tickets for everyone who wanted to come watch. And Oh, it was just amazing. Hands down, the best feeling I've ever had in my life was walking out the tunnel at Wembley to, like, I think there was like 65,000 people there, and my family were like up in the stand, and oh, it was just, you know, words can't describe that sort of feeling. It was amazing. So
I think I read somewhere, it might have been on Fulham's website actually, that you said there was a moment where you went terrified to feeling super excited, you know, as you sort of crossed that threshold to go out of the tunnel. I mean, what were you thinking in those moments of nervousness then, if you like?
I'd never felt nervous to an extent where I felt like I'm not going to be able to do this before. And when I made my debut for Oxford, walking out the tunnel, I thought, oh my God, like, this is the biggest moment of my career. And I felt like lightheaded, and I was shaking a little bit, but I was excited, and that was it. I was fine. Obviously scored, and that was it. Then nerves were gone. And then that feeling came back then when we were at Wembley. And I was like, oh my God, like, it was on telly. Like, I could see out the tunnel, and we were in the tunnel for about 2 minutes. I could see out the tunnel, and there was just like stands of like fire, and, you know, the flags coming down, and like loads of people on the pitch. And I was really lightheaded. I was really nervous, but I was so excited. And I can't even describe to you, as soon as I touched the turf and we crossed the line, my nerves just went, and I just thought, here we go. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is it. This is what I've worked for. This was like the pinnacle of sort of my career so far. And I thought, yeah, this is it. So the feeling of nerves just completely vanished. And yeah, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
And to talk about things coming full circle, I mean, you ended up at Wrexham afterwards, you know, in the first team. I mean, what did it mean to you to be able to come back home and play it somewhere? I mean, had you been there as a kid watching games and so on? You must have been, mustn't you? So it must have been odd to then suddenly be suiting up and playing at the racecourse.
Yeah, I mean, we used to go and watch the games a lot when we were in the academy. So we'd go and watch, always remember the game against, I think it was Boston. They stayed up on the last day of the season, and pitch invasion and blah, blah, blah. And funnily enough, I think Ryan Valentine scored a penalty that day. He was then my teammate, my car school buddy in Bala. So it's just weird. But that was amazing. Like, it didn't sink in at the time how big of a deal it was for a local lad to play for Wrexham. I knew it was big, and I knew it was proud for me, obviously playing for my hometown club. But a lot of my mates are season ticket holders, so I didn't understand how big it was for them. Like, their dream as it would be like to play for Wrexham, not to be like a footballer and play in the Premier League, but their dream was like to play for Wrexham. And I was living that at 20 years old. So it was cool. It was nice. Like, it's just nice to be back home. All my family could come to every game, and I was living at home again. And as I say, all my mates would come and watch the games. They were season ticket holders. So it was great. You know, it was really, really good. I had such a short stay there, and I really, you know, I did like an interview after I'd left and stuff, and I made no bones about it. I wanted to stay 100%. I wanted to stay at Wrexham, but like, for one reason or another, the deal that we couldn't come to an agreement, and that was it, which is fine. Do you know what I mean? It happens in football. It's the way football is. But yeah, it was amazing. I think I ended up playing like 25, 26 games for them. I scored for them and stuff. So I experienced that. Would have been, you know, in hindsight's a wonderful thing, but it would have been nice to have stayed there longer and you know, seen what would have happened after that. But I believe everything happens for a reason. And yeah, it was just, I really look back on those memories playing for Wrexham, and they're such fond memories. I was very lucky to play for my hometown club, and as I say, in front of my family and friends. So
no, absolutely. And I think to go back in your story a little bit, I think we met just before you started playing for Wrexham, I think, in the first team anyway. I think, obviously, we met on the Wales under-21s sort of duty. If there's anything that's going to top playing for Wrexham at the racecourse, it's going to be playing for Wales at the racecourse, I think. You obviously did that. I'm not sure. Was it against Denmark? But talk me through, you know, that experience of, you know, playing for Wrexham, like I said, is one thing at that place, but playing for Wales there is something else.
Yeah, of course. I mean, playing for Wales was great. We had such a good bunch of lads, and there was like five or six of us that were like really close in that group, and we stayed in contact all the way through, and we still speak now and again now. So it was over the 18-month period that we were going on international duty. It was just a nice break away, and in that 18-month period, I went from Fulham to Oxford to Wrexham. So you develop as a player, but you're always meeting back up with the same boys every couple of months, and it was nice. It was really, really good environment to be in. We had a good squad. We had some good players. Obviously, yeah, I played the game against Denmark at the race course. We'd drawn with them 0-0 away, and we felt like we could probably, you know, go on at home. We felt we could go on to beat them and stuff. And don't get me wrong, they were a fantastic side with some unbelievable players playing, you know, first team level in different leagues around Europe and stuff. And it was a great experience. And obviously to play at the time I was at Wrexham, so I was playing at like my home stadium for my country. Yeah, it's just, it really is so proud pulling in on that, you know, that Welsh jersey and singing there, standing there singing the anthem. And yeah, the result didn't go our way on the day, but that was good, and it was just a great experience. And I think I was lucky enough to, well, I was in every squad for the whole campaign. I'm not sure how many caps I got, maybe six or seven. So yeah, it was a really, really good experience.
I mean, I think you've been a bit modest there in terms of the squad that I can remember. I think Harry Wilson was in it, Dan James. You'll know more than me, but and then talking about the players you played against as well, I think Pione Sisto was one of them, who just played against Manchester United in the Europa League a few months before. So, you know, it was a high quality game of football, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I mean, me, I'd say Harry's probably the one I'm closest to still now from that squad. But yeah, there were some real good players in the squad. You know, like Lee Evans, who plays in the middle now for Wigan. He was as good a centre mid as I've played with. And then you had like Wes Burns, Ellis Harrison, Geoff Jones. We had like real good players there, but also good personalities. They were good lads. Do you know what I mean? It was a real good group of lads to be around. And yeah, obviously the players we played against were good. The captain of Denmark I'd played with at Fulham. Last week in Christensen, he played at the time. He was playing first team football for Fulham in the Championship. He was Denmark's captain, and then they had like the boy who plays for Chelsea now, centre half. Can't remember his name. He was playing. Sisto, as you said, played on the wing. They had a couple of Ajax boys who were playing. So you know, good standard of football. Yeah, it was a great experience. And I think they went on to win our group and did well in the competition in the end. But it was a really, really good experience. And as I say, still keep in contact with quite a few of the boys.
And obviously you had another adventure coming then in Welsh football. I mean, what did you know about the league before you arrived, if anything really? And, you know, how did that come about? I mean, obviously you mentioned there was a connection with Ryan Valentine, but was there anything else that brought the move about, or?
When I was at Wrexham, Jordan Davis, the young left-back, went on loan to Bangor. So I always looked out for how he was getting on and stuff, and that gave me a bit of an insight into the league. Obviously, I knew Druids was the local club to me. So I'd been to watch them a couple of times, you know, if I was back up this way or a game coming up. It was always nice to go and watch them, because Druids do attract quite a big crowd when they've got a big game on. So as far as my knowledge of the league went, I obviously knew a lot about TNS and stuff, but I didn't realise that it was the profile that it was. Do you know, with the, it's got obviously the Scorio cameras and every game's televised, the media that surrounds the league and the players that were playing in it. So it was an exciting opportunity for me. I did have quite a few offers when I left Wrexham, but I chose to, you know, trial around the English system first. And things didn't quite work out for one way or another, whether it was, you know, a club didn't want me or we couldn't reach an agreement on a deal. It's a lot harder than you think trying to find another club. So there's so many factors to take into account. But coming into the Welsh League seems to be one of the best decisions I've ever made in the game now for me. So, as I say, I believe everything happens for a reason, and I'm thoroughly enjoying my time in the Welsh League. I really can't see myself playing anywhere else, to be honest. So.
And I mean, at Bala, you had, I know how much Wembley meant to you, of course. I mean, it goes without saying, but at Bala, you had a very special experience with the Welsh Cup as well. I mean, what I don't need to say how much that game, I enjoyed that game, because you know, because I've said it on this podcast before, it's one of the best games of football I've ever watched in terms of pure drama, I think. But what did it mean to you being a part of it on the pitch?
It's one of them things with football where you don't seem to take the moment for what it is at the time. It's really hard to enjoy the moment, because football has so many highs and a lot more lows. There's a lot more lows in football than there is highs, but the highs are just the best feelings you will ever get in your life. That's what you're constantly chasing. You want to win, you want to win trophies, and you want to be on top of the world. And when we won that Welsh Cup, oh, it was just amazing. I think it was the first time Ballantyne had ever beat TNS, never mind won the Welsh, like the first time they ever won the Welsh Cup. And to do everything on the same day, and just the way we won was outstanding. I mean, I came off the bench in that game for the last half hour, and the boys had done absolutely fierce. And it was just like, it was almost written in the stars to sort of come on and try and change the game and inject a bit of, you know, pace and start running at them, try and take the game to them, because the game was there for us to take. And yeah, I came on and I think I scored in the, well, Kieran Smith will tell you different, but the name's gone down. Jordan Evans has scored, so I'm taking the goal. But us came on and scored in like the 77th minute or something like that. And then about 7 or 8 minutes later, Kizza scores the header and we just erupted. And we knew from there that was it. Like, we'd won the game. It was about seeing it out, obviously, but we knew that we were full of confidence then. And I think in the last 5-10 minutes, I got the ball a couple of times and I just kept running with it, running to the byline or just whatever, just trying to get our team out of trouble, because I know what my role was in that game. All the boys had done fantastic, you know, keeping TNS at bay and created the chances and put the pressure on them. And Ash Morris had a brilliant game. So yeah, it was just such a good day. And to see what it meant to, you know, like Col and Nigel and Steve Fisher, Ruth, people around the club, it was just like amazing. Because that was the first time I'd been involved in a part-time environment, a club that involved a lot of volunteers, a club that involved a real, like, small community following, and everyone was together. And to see how much it meant to everyone was just amazing.
And what I liked about the way, well, that you won the competition, I mean, I spoke to you, I don't know if you remember this, I spoke to you in the winter after, when you were about to defend the trophy against Aberystwyth in the third round. And the first thing that came out of your mouth was, I don't think I realised at the time just how much it meant to me and how much it meant to everyone else. So, but you had done in the months that had passed, sort of thing. So, you know, I think that showed real maturity from you to sort of realise that. And, you know, looking back on it now, what did that trophy win mean to you?
Oh, it was massive. It was the first... I mean, I've been in finals in previous years. We got to the FA Youth Cup final when I was an under-18 at Fulham and we lost to Chelsea. I'd got to the final of the Johnson's Paint Trophy for Oxford and we lost to Barnsley. So that was the first, like, proper final that I'd won. And it was just, like, amazing. I had a winner's medal in my hand for the first time. I had the trophy, I had the presentation, all the boys that had welcomed me at Tabala. I'd only been there a couple of months, but it was just an amazing atmosphere to be in. And as I say, I realized how much it actually meant to me until a few months had passed. And then it got to a point now, me and my game now, I really want to win the Welsh Cup again because of that feeling. Like, I'm 24 now. I don't know how many years I've got left in me, 10, whatever. But I would love to win the Welsh Cup again. It would just be... It's just an amazing competition, and yeah, it was just amazing. I can't describe it any other way, really.
And obviously, you moved on to a club closer to home afterwards in Cevennydd, and you sampled European football. I mean, you know, you weren't in the professional game at this point, but you've had some experiences in Wales, haven't you? And they've been pretty special. And where does Europe rank amongst everything that you've done? And what did it mean to you to have that chance with Druids?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I mean, playing European football is what sort of thing you dream of as a kid. And we ended up going to Lithuania and we played home and away. And we lost 2-1, but the team that we played were a full-time team. They had some some players who had played Premier League football before. And at home, we were 1-0 up against them, and we felt we were good for the win. Do you know what I mean? It was we played really well, and then we narrowly lost 1-0 away. But we had our chances. You know, we had our chances to draw the game, to win the game, whatever. But as an experience, I mean, just so good. Again, it's a completely different experience playing European football. To still have the taste of, as a part-time player, to still have the taste of being able to go away on a European trip with your football team for like 4 or 5 days and just escape from, you know, your job, your reality. It's just, yeah, brilliant. And obviously the lads we did it with were class as well, so.
Were you able to appreciate it at the time? Or, I mean, and going through it, are you taking in all these sorts of, you know, seeing Druids' logo, seeing your name on the team sheet under the Europa League logo and all this? I mean, is it all still quite surreal to you?
Yeah, it is. It's really hard to enjoy the moment, because this, as I said before, this, like, at the end of the game we'd lost, so we were all really disappointed because we'd lost the game. But when you take a step back and you think, oh my god, I actually played in the Europa League, started the game. Do you know what I mean? Like, I had a good game or whatever. You think there's a lot of positives to take from it, but football, the world we live in with football, it's like there's so many things you have to be like happy at the end of the game, to be like, yeah, that was it. I've fulfilled my feeling for that game. I'm really happy and blah blah. But if in football, if you don't win or you lose or you have a bad game yourself, it's hard to take in the moment for what it is at the time. So it's definitely good to look back on it with fond memories and stuff. And I hope I can get better at appreciating the moment, in the moment. So, yeah.
And I mean, last season, probably one of your more frustrating ones, I think, on a personal level, I guess, because obviously you had injuries and so on. It's a challenge for Airbus to come up and stay up, you know, in a very difficult league. We'll never know what would have happened, obviously, because the season was cut short due to the pandemic. But what do you learn about yourself in a season like last year, where obviously things were out of your control in a way, weren't they? You know, you were injured a lot, and you couldn't maybe help the team as much as you wanted to. But what do you learn in a situation like that?
Do you know what? Last season was maybe one of the best, obviously, again, looking back on it, one of the best things that could have happened to me was where I had a period of time on the sideline to really appreciate how much, one, I wanted to play football in the Welsh Premier League, and two, what I wanted to get out of the Welsh Premier League personally. I'd say that I've had good games in the Welsh Prem, and I'd say that I've had some very good moments and I've scored some good goals, but I don't think I've done it to a consistent enough level yet. That's me personally. Other people might disagree, but I think that I've got a lot more to offer. And being injured last year gave me a lot of time to think and, you know, process things differently. My mindset's changed. My attitude is completely different to the game. I want to give myself the best possible chance of being the best possible player I can be this season for Newtown in the Welsh Premier League. And it was very frustrating at Airbus, don't get me wrong. I hated being on the sideline. I did my hamstring at the start of November, and I came back and I played two halves of football and then fell on my ankle awkwardly. And I was out I was back. I think I played 20 minutes away at Carmarthen. That was my first game back from injury. So I was out for 3 months, came back, played 20 minutes, and then the season ended due to the pandemic. So, you know, I was out pretty much injured from November all the way to the end of the season. And it was so frustrating. It was so frustrating because I still went to every training session. I got my treatment. I went in the gym. And it was, yeah, frustrating. But from a mindset point of view and from my attitude, it was probably one of the best things to happen to me, because I know I don't want that to happen again.
I mean, before we get on to Newtown, obviously you've moved around a fair bit in your career. For one reason or another. I mean, is that just your nature, or do you think you'll find a club one day that where you just want to maybe stay there for 2 or 3 years, or, you know, what's behind that, do you think?
Well, as you say, it's a lot of things are out of your control in football. I mean, last year at Airbus, for me, Airbus was a great club and I enjoyed my time there, but me, as I said just then, my mindset is I want to play in the Welsh Premier League. So as soon as it got announced that Airbus were being relegated, my focus turned then to finding a team to be in the Welsh Premier League. So the reason for that one is as it was, you know, when I was at Wrexham, I got offered a deal. It really wasn't right for me. It just was not right for me. And as much as I wanted to stay and wanted to sign that deal, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't right for me at the time. So I had to turn it down. Otherwise, I would have stayed. And, you know, things don't always go to plan in football. There's so many factors. It's not just like I want to move around. I want to be at a team where I'm settled. I would love nothing more than to have a good season at Newtown and stay there for a couple of years, for years to come, and really nail down my place there, because it is hard going to a new team and getting to know new lads and how they play and constantly moving around and stuff. I don't want that to be my career sort of thing. But as I've said, it's a lot of things are out of your control sometimes, and you just have to do what's right for yourself and give yourself the best opportunity, whatever you think is the best opportunity for you. If it's took me 2-3 clubs in the Welsh Premier League to find that at Newtown, then so be it. As I say, I'm only 24 now, so you never know what could happen. I could stay at Newtown for 10 years and that's it. And then the thing of me moving around is the thing of the past, you know what I mean? So,
speaking of Newtown, we spoke about this when you cut my hair the other day. I know you can't see this on the podcast, but Jordan did a very good job. You know, it's an exciting team to be a part of. They're always in the mix. It's a bit of a cliche, I guess, but they're always in the mix for that European football. They're always in and around the playoffs. You must be feeling good about going there and what that opportunity provides you with. You know, if that team can be consistent, then you're going to be very good.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that was what I said to Chris when we spoke on the phone. I said, I won't hide the fact that I want to win things and I want to be pushing for Europe. I want to have a good cup run. As I said before, I want to win the Welsh Cup again. So I want us to have a good run in the Welsh Cup. I want us to qualify for Europe. And with the squad we've got, I cannot see why that isn't possible. I don't think that I'm overstretching there. I think that Newtown have always been a good, steady club in the Welsh Prem. They've had great seasons. They've had some seasons where they've maybe underachieved a little bit. But I know for a fact that the philosophy, as I said, Callum and Chris have been there for a long time now, and they instill the way that they like to play football on the lads. They've got a lot of players there that are long-serving players, which to me says that the club is a good club to be at. People don't want to move, so they're really settled at Newtown. They like it there. The club is ran really well. And if we can get it right on the pitch, then I can't see why we can't be challenging at the top end of the table and getting into Europe and you know, having a good cup run and trying to win things.
And as a competitor of theirs over the last 2 years, what have you observed about Newtown that you like? You know, what do you think you can add to the team and so on?
I've always liked the way they play football. I think they play good football. I think they always they've got some cracking results against like TNS and Ballor and Connorskey over the last few years. And I think it's just that consistent thing that you talked about. If we can get that nailed on, then I can't see why we can't be challenging, as I said, at the top end of the table. I think it's always been, I've always loved playing it. I've only played once or twice, I think, at Newtown, but I've gone. Last year I sat in the stand at Airbus because I was injured. So I've always liked playing there. I think the community's good. And I've spoke to Chris a few times prior to going. And I've always had a good conversation with him. I've always liked how he is. In terms of what I can bring to the team, I think I've got a lot of pace. As I said, I think my attitude has completely changed now. I'm a lot more driven than I was over the last couple of years. You know, falling out of full-time football had a big effect on my mentality and on my career. I won't hide the fact that I did struggle when I dropped out of full-time football. And I think for the first couple of years, I couldn't come to terms with being a part-time footballer. I couldn't come to terms with it. So now, I'm really, really excited to give my all as a part-time footballer playing for Newtown, but I want it to be the best of my ability. And I know in myself, I'm quite confident of my ability. And as I said, it's just that consistency of being there from a personal level, of playing as well as I can and imposing my threat on the game. I like to shoot from distance. I can go past people well. I want to add more goals to my game. My assists have been pretty good through the last few years. But I do want to add more. As I say, I want to be more imposing on the game. But yeah, I'd say I'll bring pace, directness. I can beat players, creativity, that sort of thing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this season, to be honest.
So turn to the things you do outside of football briefly. And I mean, there's many of them. As I mentioned earlier, you cut hair and you play a guitar. You do both very well, not to play them down. Let's start with the cutting hair, shall we? I mean, I was wondering earlier, I mean, obviously you and Danny Gossett do this. No offence to any other Cymru Premier footballers that might do it. I'm not aware of you. I know Danny and Jordan do. Maybe we can start a five-a-side team of barbers if there are more of them. I don't know. That would be interesting. But it's a passion of yours, isn't it? It's not just a job. It's something you genuinely really enjoy doing, is being a barber.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've said a few times now, I've been barbering for 2.5 years now, and I cannot describe to you how much I love the job. I don't see it as a job. I see it as like a hobby. I love it. Like, lockdown was the worst thing that ever happened, because not only couldn't I work, but I couldn't do something that I enjoy 5-6 days a week. I honestly believe, I said earlier in the podcast, I believe that everything happens for a reason. And I honestly believe that cutting hair is like, suits me down to the ground. I love talking to people. I love being social. I used to get my hair cut, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks. So I've always had a passion for, you know, hair and looking and creating those styles and stuff like that. But like, for me, cutting hair is just the best job in the world. I can't put it any other way. That's just my passion. It's what I'm into, and I love doing it. And I really can't see myself doing anything else for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no, like I said earlier, I enjoyed the visit last week. It was good to see you, and obviously there's some good music in there as well. We'll touch on the music. Some of it was yours, yeah. So we'll turn there next. I mean, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago that you started a band? Or, I mean, talk to me about the journey. I mean, how did this come about? Why did you do it? And how has it gone?
So I've always played guitar since I was young, really. And then when I moved to Fulham, I stopped playing, really. I didn't take my guitar down with me, really. I had it now and again, and I'd just, you know, pick it up, play a few chords or whatever. But that halted my progress, really. And then as I left Wrexham, I found myself a lot more free time on my hands. And one of my best pals has been in bands all through his life and stuff. And he's got a cracking voice, Lee. So we just started, you know, playing together and started writing a few tunes and stuff. And started it off very much as a studio project. We just wanted to, you know, write a few tunes and maybe release one and see what people thought. And then before we knew it, we had a full band and we were gearing up to play gigs and stuff. And we released an EP, which is 4 tracks, in 2018. It's as close playing a to like friends, family, to people who know your songs and, you know, people are singing them back or whatever. That's the closest feeling I can describe to playing football on a big stage. Do you know what I mean? Like scoring a goal, playing football, or walking out at Wembley, for example, or, you know, a stadium full of people. Although we haven't played to massive groups of people, I think the biggest group of people we've played to is about 400. But it's the closest feeling I can describe to those football feelings. You know, you get just an adrenaline rush, and yeah, it's just good. It's a completely different world to football, but there's a lot of similarities. So it's just amazing. It's a really good hobby, if nothing else. So yeah, it's class, really.
And I mean, I'll ask on a personal note as well as for your followers. I mean, is there new music on the way? How's that going? Is there anything more coming?
Yeah, so we've started back since the end of lockdown. We've been able to practice now for the last couple of weeks. So we've got a couple of new tunes in the pipeline. We need to get them recorded and we need to get them released. So I'm not sure how long the turnaround time is on that, but I'm very, very excited with what we've got. So yeah, it'd be good to get them recorded and hopefully start playing some gigs when, you know, the pandemic allows. Because as I say, that's the reason I'm in the band. That's the reason I do it, because the gigs are the main thing for me. The feeling of playing live is just up there. So, yeah.
So, for any listeners, if you go to Latham Park next year and there's some indie rock playing on the stereo, it's Fade of Strangers. Jordan's paid them to play it. But it's great stuff, and it's great to see you have so many interests, really. Final couple of questions, maybe a bit cheeky. Number one, if you had to pick a teammate that you've had before to be the next singer in your band, who would it be? And number two, if you had to pick a teammate who needed a trim from maybe yourself or maybe just needed a new hairstyle, I mean, who would it be?
Okay, right. That's a very good question, and I'm put on the spot here. I'm trying to think who's got a good voice. I know Tomo had a good voice. Dave Thompson at Bala, he's had a really good voice. Not sure whether he was into our style of music. I would love to see Ben as a front man of the band. I'd put Chris Venables as front man of our band just because his presence is unrivaled. So I'm not sure about his voice, but I'm sure he could hold the crowd in the palm of his hand. In terms of someone who needs a haircut, that is a tough question, and I don't want to offend anyone really. Oh, I can't even think. I cut quite a few boys in the Welsh Prem. So, I mean, I cut Venice's hair, I cut Leo's hair. I've done quite a few boys. So, I'm not gonna drop anyone in it there, really, I don't think.
We could say yourself when you had that blonde stuff going on, couldn't we?
I need to have a word, actually, because that picture of me from when I was at Bala, smiling down the camera with the bleach blonde hair, that still seems to be plastered everywhere along the Welsh Prem, so that needs to be removed. If they need another, I'll be happy to send one across, but that needs to go, because that was bad.
Well, look, my last question, I guess, is what does the future hold for Jordan Evans? I mean, you're a busy guy, you've got a lot going on, you've got ambitions. I mean, say now we do sit down and have this conversation again in 5-10 years. I mean, we'll speak before then, but let's say we do another edition of this podcast. Where would Jordan Evans like to be?
Do you know what, Jay? For the first time in my life, I think I'm pretty much in that I do. I've always been chasing something, and I've always been trying to get to a place, whether that was, you know, when I finished playing professional football, I was trying to get back into professional game. And I think for the first time in my life, I'm so content with what I'm doing that in 5-10 years' time, we have this conversation. I think I'll be doing exactly the same things as what I'm doing now, just at a higher level. I think my ambition is, obviously, as a barber, to grow, to have my own business, to have my own shop. I've got my shop now and stuff, and it's great. I've come on a long way in 2.5 years, and I don't plan on stopping. That's my vision. That's what I want to do. I want to build my barbering brand up as much as possible. And in terms of the football, hopefully in 5-10 years' time, we'll be looking back on, you know, well, I don't know if it'll be near the end of my career, but a more brightened career than what we've got. We've obviously got 7-8 years to talk about now. We'll probably have 15 years to talk about in the future. And hopefully I've achieved a lot more. There's a few more cup wins there. There's a lot more goals being scored by myself. There's a few more European appearances. And hopefully we can just be in the same environments, but just on a much bigger scale. So I would say that was where I'd be in 5-10 years.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to that conversation, and I thank you very much for finding the time, and look forward to seeing you back on the pitch whenever we get back to it. But I know you're as eager as I am to be to see football being played competitively again, and I'm really looking forward to it. So thanks again for joining us.
No, thanks very much, Jay. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to me and stuff, and I've thoroughly enjoyed, you know, I don't hide the fact that I do enjoy a conversation and stuff. So yeah, it's been really nice to sort of talk about my experiences and what I'm up to now and that sort of thing. So yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity.
No worries, Sean. Good luck, mate.
Thank you very much, mate.